Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 15. It's a lengthy chapter. It's not too lengthy. It's not bad. Let's read the whole thing. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram said to the Lord, "What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed the Lord, and it counted it him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer, 3-year-old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He took unto them all of these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of Amorites is not yet full." And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Father, please help me this evening as we discuss this chapter, seeing some wonderful truths that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have Genesis chapter 15. There are three things that I would like to point out here in Genesis chapter 15. The first thing is, I want us to see what Jesus is. I've often said this: if the Lord ever appeared to me, the first thing that I would want him to say is, "Fear not." If he came to me and says, "You better be afraid," no problem. The first thing that I would want to hear Christ say to me, if he came to me in a vision or if he appeared at the foot of my bed, I would want him to say, "Fear not." That's exactly what Jesus tells Abram. Abram, who just got done defeating those four nations that took Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, they took Sodom and Gomorrah, and then they took Lot. And Abram, with his 318 servants, went and did what five kings couldn't do. Destroyed and got back Lot. So, Abram is here, and God tells him to fear not. And there's two reasons. I want you to see that, number one, he tells Abram to fear not because he is Abram's shield. Do you realize this evening that the Lord God Almighty is our shield? You know, maybe Abraham was thinking, about the four kings that he defeated. Why did Abraham need to be reminded that God was his shield? Nothing was going on. But God knows the heart of a man. And God knows our thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows your fears. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows the news that you never want to hear. He knows your greatest concerns. He knows right now what you're contemplating. He knows the decisions that you have to make this week, and some of you might be in fear. God would come to you and say, "Fear not. I am your shield." Maybe Abram was thinking about those four nations that he destroyed. Maybe he was concerned that he would always have to be looking over his shoulder, that those nations would come up behind him and take him out. I don't know what he was worried about. Maybe he was worried about his wealth, that someone would come and take it. Maybe he was worried about getting a reputation of a warrior. You know, when you get a reputation of a warrior, guess what automatically happens? People want to fight. I've seen enough gun smoke to know that. You know, if you're the fastest draw, everybody wants to call you out. Well, maybe he was afraid that his reputation would be a warrior, and he wasn't a warrior. He was just a shepherd, a farmer. But God came to him and said, "Abram, I'm your shield." A shield is for protection. To stand between you and the enemy. You know, friend, the Lord is our shield. Psalm 33, verse 20 says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." The Lord is our protector. When you and I stay under the obedience of God's perfect will, we have nothing to fear. I'm often reminded of Proverbs 21:31. "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." In this unsettling time that we live in, when there are wars and rumors of war, it's nice to know that God is our safety. Friends, still save. Save your money. Put money in your 401k. Put into Social Security, not like you have a choice. Still take your medicine. Get your bills paid. Keep a calendar. Live like you have another 100 years to live. But remind yourself that the Lord is the one to provide safety. You plan like everything depends upon you, and you trust because everything does depend upon God. And Proverbs 21:31 is a powerful verse because it reminds me that it's okay to make plans and prepare. But it's foolish to think that my plans and preparations cannot be altered by the almighty hand of God. And His will is what we're seeking. But, you know, God tells Abram that he is his shield. The second thing, he says, "I am your exceeding great reward." Psalm 16, verse 5 says this, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot." Hey, church, not only is he our rewarder, he is our exceeding great reward. You know, he is the one that's going to reward us. We talked about that last Wednesday night, judgment seat of Christ. The rewards that you and I get, the crowns that we'll get. But not only is he our rewarder, he is our reward. The Lord is mine in inheritance. Praise God. When you know, what happens when you receive a reward? Let's just say that you were in some sort of competition. I don't know, there's so many competitions out there. But let's just say you were in a great competition. I mean a big on national television competition. And you won. And they gave you this golden trophy. Or a huge plaque. You know, you'd probably cherish that trophy. You would probably put that plaque in some place of prominence in your home. You would brag about it a little bit. You would try not to act like you're bragging about it, but you'd brag about it. You'd be proud of it. And when I started thinking about the, you know, when we're kids, we get little trophies. And unfortunately now, every kid gets a trophy when they play sports. But when I was a kid, you got a trophy if you won. If you didn't, you still got ice cream. But you didn't get a trophy. So every trophy or plaque that I ever got when I was a kid, weren't many. Every trophy or plaque that I got, I kept in my room. I was proud of them as a little kid. Or I'd get a blue ribbon at field day that said I was the fastest kid or the one that could throw the softball the farthest. I was so proud of those. I have no idea where they're at now. But when I was 10, that was a big deal. And I was proud of it. You know, when I started thinking about what do we do with awards, you know, I guess if you were going to be an actor, the greatest award you could get would be an Academy Award. You know, I got to be honest with you. If I came over and visited your house and on your mantle was the Academy Award, I'd be impressed. I'd want to ask you a lot of questions about that award. How did you get it? What did you do? Can I hold it? It is heavy. So when I started thinking about Christ being our great reward, I started thinking, are we treating Christ like we would treat those petty things that really aren't important? Do we brag on Christ? Is He a place of prominence in our home? Is He something to be talked about and proud of? See, friend, He's our great reward. If we're willing to brag about or cherish or put on display the awards that we've won on this earth, should we not do the same about Jesus? Hey, maybe you need to brag on Him a little bit more. You know? As a matter of fact, I want three people to stand up right now and brag on Jesus. Ready? Go. Amen. That's one. If you can't count, there's two more. One more. Come on, you ain't gonna brag on Jesus? Man, I shouldn't even had to wait, man. You should have been in the first one in line to say something about Jesus. If I said, hey, anybody win the championship game? Yeah, we won! My team won the Super Bowl! Woohoo! Sorry, Pat. Didn't mean to bring up bad wounds. We brag about that. We wear the t-shirt, right? Hey, if West Virginia ever won a national championship, everybody would be wearing West Virginia gold and blue. But when we talk about bragging about Jesus, that's embarrassing. The Bible says, to Abram, He said, I am your great, exceeding great reward. I'm just not your reward. I'm just not your great reward. I am way above great. I'm exceeding. He's our inheritance, Psalm tells us. Are we bragging about Jesus? Or are we kind of like this at work? Dear Jesus, I pray for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I don't want nobody to know I pray and ask God to bless my food, which is a thing of the past. When I was growing up as a kid, it was very common to see people pray over their food. Now we don't even give it a second thought. We just start eating. When did we stop being grateful? We could always do what Hank and Helen did. I love Hank. Hank, you didn't know him. But if you knew him, you knew him. And he would tease my, he'd like to poke my dad. And Hank would say, I don't pray over my meals. When I bring the groceries home, I pray over the whole bag of groceries and then I put them up and that takes care of all the praying. I ask God to bless these groceries. Hey, listen. There's nothing wrong about bragging about Jesus. You say, well, I didn't know what to say. You didn't have to say much. But you need to brag about Jesus a little bit more. We need to. We need to praise Him. He is worthy of our praise. You know, the first thing that you should do when you wake up in the morning, you should start talking to God. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for letting me make it through the night. Thank you for letting me be someone that can serve you. Thank you for the health that you've given me. It may not be the greatest, but I know I could probably name a dozen people that are worse off than I am. Thank you, dear God, for a roof over my head last night. Thank you for the groceries that I can go eat here in just a few seconds. Thank you for a hot shower when I get up and turn the water on. It'll probably be hot or get hot. Be grateful. He is our exceeding great reward. Abram, I'm your shield. First thing he said, fear not, I'm your shield. You're worried about those four kings probably, Abram, aren't you? You don't have to worry about them. I got your back. Not only do I got your back, I got your front, your side too. I got the above and the below. Nobody's going to touch you. Hey, listen, if you're in the center of God's will, I want you to know that nothing, nobody can touch you. You are immortal. When you are in the will of God, until God says it's time to go, nobody can touch you. That's true. He's our exceeding great reward. Not just a reward, but a great reward. He's beyond imagination. The second thing that I see here in this passage of Scripture in chapter 15 is I want us to see what Abraham did. I like this. God comes to Abraham and tells him a few things. He says, hey, I'm your shield. Fear not. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. Go outside and look at the stars, Abram. Can you count them? Of course you can't number those stars. Your children are going to be as many. Innumerable. You can't count them. I don't have any kids, God. I mean, I'm getting up here in age. I mean, the only person that could inherit to me is this kid that was born to one of my servants under the tent of my house, and he's from Damascus. God said, that's not going to be the inheritance. You're going to have a child from your own loins. Someone from you, I will provide. And I love verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. All right. It'd be equivalent to God coming to you tonight and say, hey, you're going to win the Publisher's Clearinghouse $8,000 a week for the rest of your life tomorrow morning. And you're going to have a baby in 9 months. Some of you are like, what? Some of you be like, yeah. And others would be like, and I'm going to make you the president of the United States the next election. You'd be like, yeah, right. But that wasn't what Abraham said. Okay, I believe. Now, I know what I just said is kind of ridiculous. I just wanted to show you how ridiculous it might have sounded to Abram. But there's a lot of things in Scripture that God gives us that we should put our faith and trust in. And yet I'm afraid that sometimes we don't believe. He believed the Lord. Do you? Do we truly believe the Lord when He says, I'll meet your needs? Some practice today that they do not. Because when the offering plate was passed around, you're like, I need that more than God does. That's absolutely true. because God doesn't need a dime from you or from me. But you didn't believe what he said, because he said he'd meet your needs. Do you believe the Lord when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Do we believe that Jesus will never let us down? Do you realize that Jesus will never let you down? You say, well, he's let me down. He's never let you down. He's probably guided you from a lot of heartache that you thought you wanted. But he's never let you down. You say, well, I got diagnosed with... Number one, any diagnosis of disease is not the perfect will of God. If it was the perfect will of God, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden. You understand that? So anything that bad happens, people are saying, why did God let this happen? There was a man named Adam that disobeyed. That's all. God didn't invent cancer. Sin did. God's not for abortion. That's sin. God's not for some kid going into shooting up kids at school. That's sin. Don't blame God. That's not his perfect will. But he did give us a permissive. Does have a permissive will, and he gave us a free will. You know, do we believe? Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Do you believe that if Christ promised to save you if you'd ask, he will? You say, well, I don't believe that. Why not? You know, unless you're an atheist, if I were to say, do you think God loves you? You'd say, yeah. And I say, why do you think God loves you? The only answer that you could give me is because, well, the Bible says it. We will believe that God loves us, but yet we won't believe that God will save us. That doesn't make any sense, because it comes from the same book. And then some people believe that you can get saved and then you can lose your salvation. We don't believe that God can save us and keep us. He can and he does. It's in the book. Hey, do we believe God? I love Abram. God just got done telling. I mean, evidently he was concerned. He was a little concerned, a little worried. God said, "Fear not, I'm your shield." I know what you're thinking, Abram. I know you're kind of thinking those four kings are going to come back and get you. Don't worry about them. He knows your thoughts. Trust him. And I love Abram. Abram just says, all right, I believe. That's simple. All right, the final thought. God shows Abraham the future. Here we have our first nightmare. I believe that this is probably the first nightmare in Scripture. Maybe the only one. I really don't know about that. But it's a nightmare if you'll look and see. And when the sun was gone down, verse number 12, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. You and I would call that a bad dream or a nightmare. I see three things from this part of the Scripture. The future is not always beautiful. Abram, you're going to have a bunch of kids. Your great-great-grandkids. And, I hate to tell you this, they're going to be taken from the land. Then they're going to be slaves for 400 years. Oh boy, my kids are going to have it made. That's not what Abram was thinking. This is a bad dream. Hey, and you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. You're going to have the future's not always bright, Abram. For 400 years, your people are going to be in darkness. Your ancestors are going to have problems. Your children are going to have problems. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And I just saw that. I said, you know what, folks? Listen, I'm not going to get up here and tell you everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm going to tell you that, hey, we're going to have problems. The future is not always beautiful. Someone said this, you know, the golden years, right? That's when your hair turns silver, your teeth turn to gold, and you start passing stones. The golden years, right? Someone said this, getting old is not for wimps. And some of you are sitting there saying, that's exactly right. Trials are going to come. Hard times are going to come. Uncertain times are going to come. Abram, fear not, I'm your shield. Church, the future's not always going to be beautiful. You're going to go to the funeral home one day and say goodbye to someone you dearly, dearly love. It's going to happen. All things being equal, it's going to happen. That is not what I call a beautiful moment. But the beautiful thing about it is, God will be there right with you. He never forsook the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. He was still their God, and He was still working. Future's not always beautiful, but God always remains faithful. He says, your kids are going to be in bondage for 400 years, but don't worry about Abram. 400 years, I'm going to get them out, and I'm going to bring them to the promised land because I'm faithful, Abraham. In church, God's faithful. Then something popped out at me when I was reading this passage of Scripture. Verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. That's the children of Israel getting out of bondage. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. You know what I see here? I see God's long-suffering again. In chapter 14, we saw God's long-suffering. Sodom and Gomorrah, God could have wiped off the face of the earth. He's going to here in a few days, in a few chapters. But He could have then, but He didn't. Because God's long-suffering. And here, we have the Amorites. A wicked group of people. And God says, listen, I'm not going to let the Amorites go yet. They haven't gotten as wicked as they're going to get. And I'm going to be long-suffering. But after 400 years of your children being in bondage, my long-suffering will end. And you will take them out. Abram won't. He won't even be around. But I see God's long-suffering. The Amorites aren't as wicked as they will be, so I won't take their land just yet. But when I've had enough, they'll be destroyed. This gives me great pause to think. Is God being long-suffering with me? The Amorites didn't even know that God was being long-suffering. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't know that God was being long-suffering. Is God being long-suffering with me? Has God let something go for years? And nothing's been done, so you think nothing's going to happen. You're okay. And God's just been long-suffering until God's long-suffering expires. Because like we said last week, the term long-suffering by definition means it comes to an end. Or it would be called always suffering. But it's not. It's called long-suffering. And I thought, boy, is God being long-suffering with me? Am I playing around with God too long? And I really don't even I'm not even paying much attention to it. And one day God's going to say, enough's enough, Nathan. That's it. Maybe you're here this evening and you're lost. I've been coming to church for years and nobody knows I'm lost. I'm a little bit embarrassed about it. I couldn't get saved. That would be embarrassing. Number one, it wouldn't be embarrassing. You just think it would be embarrassing. But even if it was embarrassing, it's nothing worth going to hell over. And you're being, and God's being long-suffering. But by definition, that suffering will end. And so, friend, I just want you to know, when I started seeing the Amorites, and I sit there and said, God says I'm not done. The Amorites are not yet full. They're not worthy enough yet for me to take the land from them. But they will be. See, God knows the future too. So I started thinking, boy, is there anything in my life that God's long-suffering about me? Boy, I don't want that to be the case. I want to come clean. I want to keep short accounts with God. So these are the truths that I found in Genesis chapter 15. Jesus is our shield and Jesus is our great, exceeding great reward. Abraham believed, simply just believed. And God shows us that the future is not always beautiful, but that God is always faithful and God is long-suffering. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not saved. Hey, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you rather than to live in heaven without you. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Him tonight, He'll save you from your sin. But friend, you've been given chance after chance after chance, and if you're just playing games with God, He is long-suffering. But His long-suffering does come to an end. Maybe you're going through some struggles right now. Maybe you have quiet fears, internal fears, fears that no one else really knows about because you really don't want it to get out, but you've got a lot of things that you're worried about. Hey, I want you to know that Jesus, if you're in the perfect will of God, Jesus is your shield. He'll never leave you. Don't you believe that? You can trust Him. He won't let you down. And I'm not saying that the diagnosis or the problems in the future are always going to be peachy keen. They're going to be problematic and they're going to be harsh, some of them. But He'll be with you. He'll never let you down. He's always faithful.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.